to print off my agenda. It's just the public hearing on Senate Bill 310.
We are live.
Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. And will the clerk please call the roll?
Senator Findley?
Present by video.
Senator Riley?
Present by video.
Senator Wagoner?
Present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist?
Senator Boquist is present on Teams.
Madam Chair Burdick?
Present by video. Okay, before we get started, I will have to announce to the convened here that there's construction going on outside my house, and I will try to use my mute button creatively, but if there is background noise, I do apologize. So we will start today by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 312, and I do believe it's Kate who's talking about this.
Yes, thank you, Chair Burdick. Members of the committee, today you will be hearing testimony on Senate Bill 312. At a high level, what this does is it requires the Department of Revenue to report data on C corporations that pay our excise tax, the corporate excise tax within the state, if their apportionment percentage is under 100%, meaning if they sell in Oregon and outside of Oregon, they're required to meet these reporting requirements. The Department of Revenue would provide this data in ranked order under a number of categories I can list at the end of this to the Legislative Revenue Officer. And then the Legislative Revenue Officer will make a report public, and the timeline of that is explained within the bill. And this would take effect. DOR would have to submit this information to LRO by December 1st, 2021 on tax year data for 2019. And then LRO would have until January 1st of 2022 to provide that report publicly. And the categories, just so that you can think about these as the discussion moves forward, the categories of information would be name, Oregon sales, Oregon taxable income, total tax expenditure amount claimed, tax liability, and total property tax paid throughout the year. And I'm happy to provide any other information that I can to the committee.
Okay, we had a very, very late breaking dash one amendment. Chris, are you aware of that, or Kate? Are you in a position to talk about that, or should we leave that to the advocates to describe that?
Madam Chair, I haven't had a chance to fully go through it yet. I'm not sure that Chris has. Otherwise, it sounds like he's saying no, so we could probably leave it to the advocates, and then I'll update the SMS after the committee.
Okay, that's fine. Again, committee, this is something that happened just in the last hour, and we'll just leave it to the advocates to explain what that amendment's going to be. So we're going to start out with a panel of proponents for Senate Bill 312. One of the members of the panel is Representative Pham, who's occupied with another hearing. So what I want to do is call up the rest of the panel and have them each identify themselves at the beginning so that their picture will show up on Teams. And then when they speak, they will re-identify themselves for the record. I hope that's clear to everyone. So on this panel will be Michael Mazeroff, Daniel Hauser, and Lori Wimmer. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Lori, do you want to introduce yourself and have the other two panelists just give your name so that your pictures show up, and then you can start with your panel discussion?
Lori Wimmer, Oregon Education Association.
Hi, I'm Daniel Hauser with the Oregon Center for Public Policy.
Michael Mazeroff, Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
Okay, and I'll leave it to the, excuse me, Chris.
Madam Chair, I believe Rep. Pham is in the room. I see her name on the participant list, so I don't know if she's...
Excellent. Representative Pham, if you can hear me, go ahead and introduce yourself and give your testimony, and then we will move on with the rest of the panel.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. My name is Khan Pham, representative for House District 46, and I'm honored to testify in support of Senate Bill 312 with the Dash 1 Amendment. Oregon has a corporate tax avoidance problem, but the public can't see right now what the problem is, at least not clearly, when corporations can hide from the public just how much they pay in Oregon income taxes and can hide which tax loopholes and subsidies that corporations exploit. Many states right now face the same problem, and the deck is stacked against revenue leaders like this committee. But Oregon can take an essential step towards fairness by passing corporate tax transparency so we have the information we need to act. In a time of growing wealth inequality, when multi-state, multinational C corporations traded on the stock market are seeing record gains while communities are hit hard by the interconnecting crises of COVID, racial and wealth inequality, and climate change, the issue of fairness is at stake. When corporations are able to avoid taxes and hide their profits outside of Oregon, there are less resources for schools, less resources for housing and other essential services, and Oregon families are left to make up the difference. The share of Oregon income taxes paid by corporations has declined by more than 60% since the mid-1970s. At the same time, national corporate profits have never been higher. Multinational corporations artificially shift profits abroad to tax havens to avoid income taxes here in Oregon. We have armies of corporate lawyers lobby for tax loopholes and subsidies that are meant to further enrich large corporations. In our state, about 7 in 10 corporations, including half of corporations with Oregon sales over $100 million, pay the minuscule corporate minimum tax.
We seem to have a technical problem here with an echo. Is there a solution?
Oh, I think it's been solved.
Okay.
I'm almost done. In other words, corporate profits have grown, but their contribution to Oregon has not kept up. SB 312 or SB 312 provides Oregonians with the information needed to reform the corporate income tax system and hold accountable corporations so that they contribute back to the communities that are helping them profit. This bill targets the most mysterious and profitable corporations to disclose certain tax and financial information, focusing only on corporations that are publicly traded, that operate in multiple states or multiple nations, and benefit from a tax expenditure given by our state. In short, enacting corporate tax transparency would increase accountability and tax fairness, which is a win for all Oregonians. I urge you to support SB 312 with the Dash 1 Amendment. Thank you.
Senator Finley, do you have a question of Representative Pham?
Well, Madam Chair, I have a question. The amendment was posted today at 12:10. According to Senate rules, the amendments would be posted an hour or 24 hours before we have discussion, before we have a hearing on them. I'm not sure it's appropriate to have this discussion about the Dash 1 amendment. I have not had a chance to read it, and we agreed to the rules that they would be posted for 24 hours.
I believe the rule is they have to be posted 24 hours before a work session. And again, this is an awkward situation, but it is what it is. And I feel like it would be beneficial to at least have a summary from the advocates. But the notice you refer to, I believe, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, applies to the minimum before we can work it into a bill. However, I would encourage everyone to, you know, get the amendments when you have a hearing, to make sure the amendment is ready and so we can have a more productive discussion. Chris, did I get anything wrong on that? Okay, thank you very much, Representative. And now we will move into the rest of the panel. And of course, you're free to stay or leave to respond to questions that we will put in order after the panel is finished talking. So whoever wants to go next.
I'll go ahead and go next, Chair. My name is Daniel Hauser. I'm a tax policy analyst with the Oregon Center for Public Policy. Chair Burdick and members of the committee, I do apologize for the lateness of the amendment. As you all know, right now, Legislative Council has certainly a slew of requests, and we were grateful that the Legislative Council drafter was able to get us this amendment before the hearing at all. And we certainly hope for and hope to, in the future, have further discussion about this amendment, what it means, with enough time for y'all to be able to digest it and really feel prepared to ask us the hard questions. I will say that most of the content in the amendment I did send out to everyone as part of a report a few weeks back. It was the appendix in our report describing the policy details. So that hopefully will at least have seeded the turf a little bit for you. Although obviously you want to see like the legislative language, not just an advocate summary of a bill. So I'm happy to answer any questions about it as we progress along. I'll go through with my intended testimony and then expand a little bit on what's in the Dash 1 amendments, recognizing this is not a work session and that we will have time to talk through and answer questions both one-on-one and in front of this committee as legislators feel is necessary. So really at its core, I feel like Representative Pham did an excellent job of explaining the principles and the need for this. And Oregon, really, we can take a step to address corporate tax secrecy. We can take a step to improve transparency in our state and help all of us better understand what taxes are being paid, how they're being paid, and which tax breaks are being used to minimize and reduce the tax liability faced by some corporations. When we talk about transparency, we are only talking about multi-state C corporations making public how much they pay in Oregon income and excise taxes, as well as enough information to understand what benefits Oregonians are getting from the many tax loopholes and subsidies that corporations use. When some corporations avoid taxes, two things can happen, right? Either there are fewer resources for schools and other essential services, or someone else has to make up the difference, right? Families, small businesses end up paying more. The lack of public accountability makes corporate tax avoidance easier, right? Big corporations operate currently behind a veil of tax secrecy. Neither you nor the public knows how much the Verizon, Bank of America, any corporation is currently paying in Oregon income taxes or what subsidies they're getting from Oregon taxpayers through the tax code. This lack of transparency really allows avoidance to go unchallenged. Through company-specific disclosures, we would be able to actually paint a picture of how widespread or how limited tax avoidance is. And at a time of healthy corporate profits, the tax on those profits, the corporate excise tax, has failed to keep up. As Representative Pham noted, over the last few decades, as a share of Oregon's income taxes, corporate tax payments have been really shrinking and have suffered greatly, as have other measures of evaluating how much corporate tax payments have kept up, right? So if we look at it from the perspective as a share of the estate economy, how have corporate tax expenditure or how have corporate tax payments kept up, and they haven't, right? They've declined significantly. When you compare it to the growth in national corporate profits over the last few decades, those have increased 600%, right? Tax payments in Oregon have definitely not increased 600%, and in fact have increased at a rate of less than half of that. And then you can also consider the number of corporations that pay the corporate minimum tax, right? Right now, based on the most recently available data, about 7 in 10 C corporations pay the corporate minimum. And nearly half, as Representative Pham noted, half of all C corporations with more than $100 million in Oregon sales paid the corporate minimum. And to be clear, that's $100,000 they have to pay, right? And these are businesses with more than $100 million in Oregon sales alone, not counting their other presence in other states. That works out to about 0.1% or less of an effective tax rate, which is almost seems like a joke. The reasons for relatively weak corporate income tax collections at a time when profits have been strong in general are not a great mystery, right? Both Oregon and the nation have seen a rise in the number of corporate tax breaks and subsidies over the last few decades, although I do have to give credit that over the last decade, Oregon has taken some positive steps to curtail and reduce our additional tax breaks. It's also clear that multinational corporations have artificially shifted those profits overseas, right? There's plenty of examples like the double Dutch with an Irish sandwich or whatever it is, right? That there's great coverage that's come out of that from Oregon-based publications as well as national ones highlighting how well that many corporations have shifted their profits to reduce their tax bill in the nation and in the state. And corporate tax transparency would increase accountability and fairness in Oregon's tax system. Specifically, it would shine a light on how corporations avoid paying taxes, helping all of us better understand what's going on, what the failings are. It would discourage corporate tax avoidance. If this information was made public, corporations knew that if they used a particular gimmick or loophole to minimize their tax bill to where they're paying almost nothing in the state, that information on its own being publicly released could help corporate taxpayers make perhaps better decisions for the public good. It would clarify what we're getting in return for these corporate tax breaks that we're providing. Keep in mind that you have to actually use a tax expenditure in Oregon's tax code in the -1 amendments. You'd have to actually use one of Oregon's tax expenditures to be required to disclose, right? If you don't benefit at all from Oregon's tax subsidies and tax breaks, you don't have to disclose anything. And finally, it would enable policymakers, you all and your colleagues in the House and throughout the chambers, to evaluate corporate claims about the impact of proposed tax changes. We all know that they will show up and say that they can't survive, can't expand, can't do this or that if they don't get this additional tax reduction. Yet you don't have the information. We don't have the information to properly analyze and assess the validity of those claims. And that's why the Oregon legislature should enact Senate Bill 312 with the -1 amendments. The legislation would only require disclosure from corporations that meet those three conditions, right? They have to operate in multiple states, they have to be publicly traded, and they have to benefit from a tax expenditure. And these large, small subset of large corporations would be required to file a disclosure with the Oregon Secretary of State. And it will need to provide information from 2 years ago on their sales, profits, and how much they benefited from each tax break, among other information that's listed in the -1 amendments. So to close, enacting corporate tax transparency would increase accountability and tax fairness, which would really be a win for all Oregonians. And so I urge you to support Senate Bill 312 with the -1 amendment. I will just add that in thinking about how the -1 amendment interplays with the underlying bill, at its core, it is a smaller subset of businesses that would disclose more information that we would need to actually make an understood and a thoughtful evaluation of our corporate tax system and what these taxpayers are paying. Instead of having Department of Revenue send data to the Legislative Revenue Office and playing this game that has additional risk for the Department of Revenue and their needs to maintain actual tax records being private, by having corporations disclose this information straight to the Secretary of State, we would avoid some of that potential conflict in the -1 amendments. So our hope is really to ensure that we're creating a system that will be easy for these corporations that have tax divisions to prepare a simple form that indicates information they've already prepared in their financial activities, and then make that information publicly available, right? Make that information accessible for you all, for us, for journalists, and for the public to really understand what's going on in Oregon's corporate tax system. So with that, Chair, I will go ahead and stop my testimony and additional explanation, and I'm more than happy to answer any questions that come up.
Okay, we'll wait till the panel is done and then we'll open it up for questions. Who wants to go next?
I will go next, Chair Burdick. Chair Burdick and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of SB 312 with the proposed amendments. I'm Michael Mazarov. I'm a senior fellow with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities in Washington, D.C. The center is a nonpartisan research and policy institute. I've written and testified in support of corporate transparency legislation along the lines of SB 312 in numerous states over the years. Although many states have mandated disclosure of the specific companies receiving economic development incentives, I believe that company-specific public disclosure of both the bottom line corporate tax liability and limited additional information from the tax return to illuminate how that payment was arrived at is a precondition of restoring this tax to the robust and fair source of revenue it deserves to be and can be again. Here are my three main arguments for the type of corporate tax transparency reflected in this bill. First, even if policymakers support specific corporate income tax exemptions, deductions, and credits on their individual merits, that doesn't necessarily mean they support a company's ability to claim so many of those incentives that a substantial share of its liability, perhaps even 100%, would be eliminated. Without knowing the bottom line tax liability, there's no way to know whether the cumulative effect of the tax breaks for which a particular company is eligible are reasonable. Second, whenever lawmakers consider changing corporate income taxes to eliminate a tax expenditure or close a loophole, specific corporations inevitably will claim the changes will harm them unduly. For instance, corporations may assert that the changes will increase their tax bills to an unreasonable extent, create incentives for them to expand operations outside a state rather than within it, or have a large negative effect on whatever activity the tax provision was intended to encourage. Without specific information about those companies' tax situations, you simply can't assess the validity of such claims. Policymakers, outside analysts, and the media can't properly evaluate the pros and cons of a proposed change in tax policy if the affected companies have a monopoly on the information needed to assess the true impact. And third, being able to assess the concrete impact of current tax laws or proposed tax changes on the tax liability of specific identifiable corporations enhances public and policymaker understanding of the effects of tax policy choices in a way that no amount of hypothetical examples or aggregated anonymous data possibly can. We see that today when federal corporate tax liability estimates for companies like Amazon and Netflix derived from annual corporate financial reports to the SEC receive substantial coverage in the media and are cited by elected officials making their case for specific corporate tax reforms. And we've also seen the value of company-specific disclosure at the state level. Since 2008, 12 states and the District of Columbia have adopted combined reporting for their corporate income taxes. They were able to achieve this crucial reform in the face of intense corporate opposition, in no small part because companies like Toys R Us and Walmart that were exploiting the absence of combined reporting to reduce their taxes using tax shelters like Delaware passive investment holding companies and captive real estate investment trusts were publicly identified through litigation. When companies where millions of people shop weekly were named as engaging in aggressive tax avoidance, this generated press attention and created momentum for reform that policymakers couldn't ignore. However, we simply can't afford any longer to rely on the occasional court case to bring evidence of aggressive tax avoidance to light. We need mandatory company-specific transparency laws on the books. Increasing discussion in several states of the need for corporate tax transparency and the introduction of transparency legislation results from growing public awareness that even as corporate profits have boomed, state corporate tax payments haven't kept pace because states are layering on incentive after incentive and corporations are exploiting loopholes in state tax structures. Oregon should take a leading role in laying the groundwork for business tax reform by requiring broad corporate tax transparency as embodied in SB 312 and the proposed amendment. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Lori, you're the last one on this panel. You're on mute. You're on mute, Lori.
I knew I'd do that. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer, representing OEA's 41,000 members and also serving as chair of the Oregon Revenue Coalition here in support of Senate Bill 312. And I'd like to thank the chair for scheduling this hearing today and also to Senator Riley for sponsoring the bill. OEA has long advocated for a fair and accountable way for Oregonians to know who pays through their taxes for the vital services that we all value. We believe that such knowledge helps lawmakers consider state-of-the-art tax policy. It helps voters understand the context behind various tax proposals, especially when they appear on their ballot. And the information also clarifies to our small business community, which are, of course, the backbone of Oregon, how to understand the business tax environment as they seek to compete on a level playing field. More important still, basic information enables everyone to operate from the same set of facts in considering new proposals to grant preferential tax treatment to certain entities over others, as well as to consider the social and fiscal costs of doing so. We have long advocated for such policy both in the legislature and on the ballot. We understand that our corporate friends are hesitant to share even limited information, even though they must share this data, as you've heard, with the SEC. We'd also note that their property tax data is already publicly available though this bill would improve the public's access to and understanding of that available information. And we've heard that there are proprietary reasons for the secrecy that currently surrounds their tax bill. So we're endeavoring to structure this legislation in such a way that those multi-state publicly traded entities subject to the bill are given a choice. If they wish to shield their tax information from transparency requirements because of that proprietary concern, they may still elect to do so under this bill. But then they would not be able to take the Oregon tax credits, deductions, and other subsidies that, after all, Oregon taxpayers subsidize. If instead their most important objective is to lower their tax liability in Oregon by advantaging themselves of these tax expenditures, then Oregonians would, of course, deserve to know key information that will help us discern whether particular tax breaks really do stimulate our economy, create jobs for Oregonians, or have other community benefit that justifies the preferential tax treatment to which they always point when they're arguing to create or extend them. Taxpayers further deserve to know whether any given tax break is the most economically efficient method of impacting our economy, or whether a particular tax break just helps certain enterprises zero out their liability. This is especially an issue if the corporate taxpayer and its shareholders are based outside of Oregon, because then we are exporting any economic benefit of that tax break to some other state or states, while Oregonians still foot the bill. Finally, over the years, corporate taxes in Oregon have remained predictably low, as you've heard, even as other taxes, for example, on small businesses, on personal income taxpayers in general, and on properties, for instance, have created both in terms of share or dollar a higher rate. So corporate taxes as a share of revenue have plummeted, as you've heard, from their high in the 1970s of 18% of the general fund to just around 6% today. And if you check out my written testimony, which is in your record, I've included a graph that shows that well, that comes out of the LRO Basic Facts book from this year. Our members would like to know the causes of this reduction in corporate tax share, and we believe that transparency policy will give us the answers. For all these reasons, we believe that the amended version of Senate Bill 312, which seeks to very carefully shed light on corporate taxation, is good public policy, and we urge this committee to support its passage. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Mazaroff. Are there other states that you can name that have the same or similar systems that you're advocating for in Senate Bill 312?
Well, some of the aspects of Senate Bill 312, of course, particularly as amended, would provide for, you know, disaggregated company-specific information about companies claiming state-specific tax credits. And there are many, many states that require company-specific disclosure of, you know, the specific tax breaks that a company is claiming and how much tax savings they may get from that. So there are a large number of states that do that. In terms of states in which the kind of bottom line corporate tax law, state corporate tax liability is public information, there's really at this point only one other state in which that is possible, and that's in Wisconsin, where if someone jumps through some hoops, they can obtain the bottom line corporate tax liability of the company. But that is at this point the only state in which such information is publicly available.
Okay, and how long has that been in effect in Wisconsin?
Madam Chair, I don't know how long it's been in effect, but it's been quite a long time. I mean, I think we're probably talking in terms of decades, because I personally was involved in working with an organization in Wisconsin that was probably, you know, 10 years or so ago at this point, working to convince the state to adopt combined reporting, and they gathered, you know, the bottom line tax liability of a number of companies doing business in Wisconsin and subject to the corporate income tax in Wisconsin. They gathered that information in their efforts to convince, ultimately successfully convince the legislature to enact combined reporting. So I know it's been in place for well before that, but I don't know exactly when it was enacted. I'm sure I could find that out for you, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, if you could provide that information to the committee, that would be helpful. Are there other questions of this panel? From Lori, did you want to respond to that?
Just only to say that the state senator who did sponsor the Wisconsin bill was flown out to speak to a previous revenue committee of the Senate a number of years ago. I know Vicki Walker was still in the Senate then, and she had her Senate Bill 518, which was a similar proposal. And in the service of that, he did come out and speak to all of the revenue legislators. You may remember that, Senator, because I think you were on the committee at the time.
All right, thank you. I actually wasn't, but it's worth looking into. And did that legislator say how long it had been in effect?
I can't recall the exact date.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to receiving more information on the Wisconsin situation. Are there other questions of this panel? Okay. Thank you very much. Our next witness will be Jeff Newgard. I'm going a little out of order from the sign-up sheet, so be aware, everyone. Jeff Newgard.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Thank you.
There's an echo, Chris. Is there something going on here? Maybe I just hear it. Now it's gone. Okay. Try, Jeff.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jeff Newgard, representing the Smart Growth Coalition. We are a consortium of traded sector businesses with significant investments in jobs and capital projects in Oregon. Our comments today are specific to the base bill, seeing as the amendments were posted less than an hour before the hearing and we did not have a chance to review. We oppose the tax disclosure reports proposed in Senate Bill 312 because they violate fundamental taxpayer privacy rights and constitutional protections against tax discrimination. We believe that violating taxpayer confidentiality under the auspices of transparency does not serve a legitimate policy purpose or promote thoughtful and informed policy. Instead, it only weaponizes the tax code. The Oregon Department of Revenue and the Legislative Revenue Office already can and do provide real-world anonymized taxpayer information to inform the committees in evaluating tax policies. As committee members, it is your prerogative to request more detailed information on specific classes of taxpayers. These requests can provide significantly more useful and complete information without undermining taxpayer privacy rights. These tax disclosure reports would raise significant legal issues. In particular, the narrow application of the reporting requirements to multi-state taxpayers seems to directly and intentionally discriminate against interstate commerce. If the courts agree, they may choose to eliminate the discriminatory feature and apply these reports broadly to all taxpayers, or simply eliminate the report altogether. Senate Bill 312 also raises serious concerns about federal tax privacy protections. IRC 6103 prohibits employees or officers of a state from disclosing information from or about a taxpayer's federal return. Although the reportable items listed in the bill are specific to Oregon tax return information, the disclosure of tax expenditures may amount to the release of federal tax return information. If a state violates these federal non-disclosure requirements, the state may lose its access to IRS information critical to administering the personal and corporate income taxes. The loss of this information would be significant for any state, but it's especially problematic for Oregon given our reliance on the income tax for funding public services. Finally, the disclosure of confidential information would make Oregon an outlier among the states and create a significant hardship for our local corporations competing against businesses in other states and countries without these requirements. If enacted, the measure would create a counterintuitive incentive for a company to avoid contact with Oregon to the greatest extent possible as to not trigger the disclosure requirements. If there are concerns about our tax system's effectiveness or fairness, we ask that you work with your professional staff to secure the information necessary to inform our debates without alienating individual businesses at a time when their investment and reinvestment is crucial to our economic recovery. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions. And Chair Burdick, if it's possible, I would ask to have Nikki Dobay go after me. She's testifying today at my request.
And that is the plan, to take Nikki Dobay next. So welcome to the committee. I'm having a little technical issue here.
Hello, Chair Burdick. Can you hear and see me?
I've got a problem here on my, I'm afraid. Chris, I opened the chat and I can't get rid of it. Oh, there it goes. Okay.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee, Nikki Dobay, I'm a state and local tax partner with Evershed Sutherland. I've been working on state and local tax issues for over 15 years, have an LLM in tax, and I'm also a resident of Portland, Oregon. I'm here today to provide technical insights regarding SB 312. I understand there has been an amendment posted. I've not had the opportunity to review, so my comments are limited to the bill as introduced. If SB 312 is enacted, legal challenges will likely result as the legislation appears to violate both federal law and raises constitutional issues. My comments will largely be focused on the issue related or raised by Jeff related to IRC 6103, and so I will not spend a lot of time on the potential constitutional challenges. Under federal law, taxpayer information is not able to be disclosed. It is protected. Specifically, IRC 6103 mandates taxpayer returns and return information shall be confidential, and specifically prohibits officers or employees of any state from disclosing any return or return information obtained. And although most feel comfortable with what a tax return is, the issue of what is tax return information is a much more ambiguous issue, and this is where SB 312 really runs into trouble. That term is broadly defined as a taxpayer's identity, the nature, source, or amount of his income, payments, receipts, deductions, exemptions, credits, assets, liabilities, net worth, tax liabilities, taxes withheld, deficiencies, overassessments, or any other tax payments. Thus, any taxpayer information subject to the public disclosure requirements in SB 312 that is derived from a taxpayer's federal return or their return information would be confidential and protected by IRC 6103. The disclosure of such information by the legislative revenue officer or any other employee or of the state would be prohibited pursuant to IRC 6103. While reportable items outlined in the legislation appear to include only information from the state tax return, such items may stem from federal return, from the federal return, and amount to the release of return information, which is protected by Section 6103. Specifically, disclosure of Oregon taxable income claimed under Oregon law may amount to the release of return information as the federal taxable income is used as the starting point to determine Oregon taxable income. Even more concerning is the disclosure of certain tax expenditures claimed under Oregon law that are deductions permitted under the IRC to which Oregon conforms. I will note this is an area of law that is incredibly unsettled. We do not have any cases in the context of state disclosure that look at the issue of what is return information. And the reason for that is quite simple. When 6103 is triggered, there are two big sticks that the IRS and the federal government has. The first is that this is a violation of a felony under federal law.
and will a criminal violation under federal law. And so any employer officer of the state that participates in this disclosure can be subject to that that criminal penalty, those criminal penalties. The other issue is that the IRS will, as Jeff mentioned, will no longer be able to share information with the state of Oregon. Essentially, if the state of Oregon is not able to show the IRS that they are not going to disclose this information, the IRS will discontinue sharing information with the state. And that is really essentially the reason that most states have not even tried to go down this path, because it's a very significant risk to the state. I think the risk is quite significant, and there would be litigation over what this return information would be, and then the real risk to losing that litigation is that the state would lose its information sharing abilities. I would also note that I'd like to respond to the question that you asked, Chair, regarding what other states do in this area. Last year, California considered a bill that was very similar to the bill that was introduced. In fact, it passed both chambers of the California legislature, but was vetoed by the governor with a very strong message due to the potential violation of IRC 6103. During the process, as that bill made its way through the legislature and in discussions with the governor's staff, we were able to put together an analysis of what other states do in this area. And I'm happy to work with Jeff on getting you that information. The states that do have disclosure make that disclosure very specific to any state specific credit or incentive. A deduction that a taxpayer gets for federal purposes, if that is what is asked to be disclosed here, that would very much trigger this prohibition and create issues. There also was discussion of the Wisconsin disclosure program is as part of that, and my understanding is that program is not really utilized at all. It is on the books. However, I've not heard from a taxpayer that has ever been subject to that, and so I don't think that that has been an effective mechanism for the state of Wisconsin. And again, we do have some information on that as part of this analysis. But I would very much caution you that Oregon would be a complete outlier if it were to go down this path with this type of disclosure, and it would be potentially violating federal law. In closing, I would also reiterate, as Jeff did, that there are constitutional infirmaries with the bill as initially drafted. Also, in hearing what the proponents of the bill said, I don't think that the amendments change that analysis. In fact, I would say the amendments probably make those constitutional issues a little sharper. You simply can't, require certain entities to do these types of disclosures without violating certain federal and state constitutional provisions. So I would very much urge you to reconsider this proposal, and I'm happy to answer any questions about 6103 or the constitutional issues.
Thank you, and I would appreciate getting a little more information about California. You said it was a similar bill. If the governor had a signing statement or something like that, that would be useful for our record. Senator Riley, you had your hand up, and I don't see it up now. Do you want to ask a question? Senator Riley, you must be on mute.
I'll pass.
Okay. Senator Boquist, do you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. I'm just trying to clarify for the record to understand. It said, I would assume legislative counsel are either the witness's lawyers. I thought the lady, and I apologize, your name isn't popping up on my screen because I'm in rural Oregon. I was trying to understand whether she's a CPA, a tax lawyer, or both. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Boquist, I am an attorney, an Oregon licensed attorney with an LLM in taxation, and have been working on state and local tax issues for over 15 years.
Thank you. Do you want to follow up, Senator Boquist?
No, I get it. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions for either Mr. Newgard or Ms. Dubay? Okay. Senator Boquist, put your hand down so I won't be asking you again. All right. Our next witness will be John Calhoun.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, my name is John Calhoun, and I'm speaking today on behalf of Tax Fairness Oregon, a network of volunteers who advocate for a national equitable tax code. And we support SB 312. Rather than reading my written testimony, I want to talk about some personal experience here. Starting in 1972, I spent close to 20 years working at Intel on the financial side of the business, and I helped the company maximize tax holiday benefits in other countries by providing data that would allocate a greater share of our income to those entities, thereby reducing U.S. and, in effect, Oregon taxes. In the 70s, the majority of Intel's profits were shown as being generated in Malaysia, where we had a tax holiday for our assembly plant. Now, keeping in mind that the design, the wafer fabrication, the marketing, the sales, were all here in the U.S., somehow our profits all ended up in Malaysia. And everything I read today in the press says that's been accelerated, not just by Intel, but by the whole tech industry in current times. I then spent 25 years as a CFO or CEO of small technology companies using both C-Corps and LLCs. Unlike the large corporations, we would pay the statutory corporate tax rates, many times the effective tax rate that Intel was paying. This is the norm. Small companies that business lobbyists always claim they are looking out for pay higher effective tax rates than the much bigger corporations who hire these lobbyists, because the small companies don't have these international tax shelters. They don't know how to trade off states, you know, have their profits show up in Washington state or some other state that doesn't have income taxes rather than in Oregon. So when business lobbyists come to the legislature and ask for new tax benefits or defend existing benefits, it would be useful for legislators and the public to know they were in fact paying only the corporate minimum tax. We should be able to evaluate the many tax expenditures that Oregon provides business to see if the benefits for that state are exceeded by the cost. And we need tax transparency to answer these questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you very much, John. Our next witness will be Josie Coney. Coney. Josie, tell us how to say your last name. Welcome.
Krina.
Krina. Welcome.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee. For the record, my name is Josie Kerner. And I'm here on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Oregon. Among the principles of the League of Women Voters of the United States are that we must promote an open government system that is representative, accountable, and responsive. The League of Women Voters believes that responsible government should be responsive to the will of the people, that the government should maintain an equitable and flexible system of taxation. One of the League of Women Voters' priorities for the 2021 session is to generate adequate revenue for essential services while promoting equitable and progressive tax policy. We support SB 312 because it calls for transparency and accountability for some of Oregon's tax policies, specifically the corporate excise tax and income tax, by providing public and legislators with the information they need to see how companies are using their business tax credits in light of the company's overall tax liabilities in Oregon. contrary to the Council on State Taxation statement that the disclosure of such information will serve no public policy interest or is arbitrary and punitive in nature, we believe that the disclosure of such information will indeed serve a public interest. In fact, our Oregon State Auditors of Business Oregon said these expenditures have recommended such disclosure. The most recent the 21-23 tax expenditure report states the purpose of the report is to provide information for a review of the fairness and efficacy of all tax deductions, tax exclusions, tax subtractions, tax exemptions, tax deferrals, and preferential tax rates and credits, tax credits. This is for Oregon only. These types of tax credit expenditures are similar to direct government expenditures because they provide special benefits to favored individuals and businesses, and thus result in a higher tax rates for all individuals. It is in the best interest of this state to have prepared a biennial report of tax expenditures that will allow the public and the policymakers to identify and analyze tax expenditures and to periodically make criteria-based decisions on whether the expenditures should be continued. Oregon does have periodic reviews of some of these expenditures and allow those that no longer seem to be needed and allow them to sunset, which is a good process. However, as the Secretary of State's 2016 report on Business Oregon, which administers programs that use these credits, states on page 20, the confidentiality of tax returns data and Employment Department job and wage data can limit transparency. They continue, policymakers and the public still do not have enough information on many economic development incentives and loans to assess their value, identify which businesses are receiving awards, and review the jobs and wages generated by subsidized businesses. Filling those reporting gaps is important. Transparency promotes accountability for public dollars by spelling out the cost and performance of individual projects and giving policymakers and the public information about how funds are to be used. In a 2013 order requiring increased transparency for the Strategic Investment Program, the Oregon Attorney General's office noted that incentives represent a sizable public investment. The public has a correspondingly sizable interest in ascertaining the extent to which its investment is paying off, the Attorney General added. The League of Women Voters supports SB 312 and the Dash 1 amendment because it requires the Department of Revenue to prepare an annual public report or the SOS report of the all C corporations over a certain amount that pay an Oregon excise tax, ranking them according to Oregon sales, Oregon taxable income, total amount of Oregon expenditures claimed, you know, that's tax credits, deductions, and other tax subsidies received, and which ones are used, and its total Oregon tax liability. The Dash 1 adds some other specific disclosure requirements. The SB 312 addresses the specific recommendations that the audit team identified in 2016 that were never acted upon. These include, here I'm quoting them, lack of financial information on income tax credits. The total amount of tax credits taken is disclosed, as it is with for other expenditures in the tax expenditure report prepared by the Department of Revenue. DOR's tax confidentiality rules, which are based on federal rules and Oregon statutes, do not allow disclosure of even aggregate amount of in the number of taxpayers involved if it's involved less than 10. These restrictions prevent public examination of the program's costs and benefits. Confidential income tax credit data we reviewed indicates that the future credits claimed could be in the millions of dollars. This audit cannot further detail the costs and benefits due to confidentiality restrictions. Statutory gaps. The transparency statutes have been expanded, but they still do not require reporting for all economic development programs. Most notably, they met the Strategic Reserve Fund, Business Expansion Plan Awards, and Business Finance Loans, even when statutes require reporting. Tax return confidential requirements in separate statutes prevent reporting actual business income tax credits taken. Similarly, the Oregon's Employment Department confidentiality restrictions on company-specific jobs and wages prevent reporting on this crucial outcome information, which decision makers and the public could use to evaluate incentives and loans. A separate statute also disbars disclosure of wages by businesses in standard enterprise zones. The wages are disclosed for other incentives, some for the same companies also receiving enterprise zone tax credit. Transparency can be adjusted to address confidentiality concerns, according to the SOS audit. Disclosures with other states and Oregon's disclosure for some of its own incentives indicate confidentiality need not prevent disclosure. Officials from other states told us they do not think transparency requirements have reduced demand for their programs and that transparency has helped them improve their programs. Several states report information on business finance loans, clawback amounts, and deal closing subsidies, similar to Oregon's Strategic Reserve Fund, without compromising business confidentiality. One solution may be to require reporting after agreements are executed. This bill provides this delay in tax reporting. To improve transparency of business incentives and loans, we recommend Business Oregon report awards and outcomes for Strategic Reserve Fund, RF Business Expansion Program, and Business Finance Program loans. Work with state agencies and local officials to improve disclosure of recipient-level data for economic development loan and tax incentives, including both cost and outcome information. Work with other agencies and legislators to address disclosure limitations due to confidentiality rules and laws. We also recommend that the legislature consider and try to resolve disclosure obstacles when adopting new economic development incentives, particularly tax expenditures. This bill, we believe, follows these recommendations, and we urge you to support SB 312. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Are there questions from the committee? I see no questions, so we will move to our next witness, Erica Kenny.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
We can.
Wonderful. Chair Burdick and members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Erica Kenny. I'm the Western States Tax Council for the Council on State Taxation. COST is a nonprofit trade organization with the objective of preserving and promoting equitable and non-discriminatory state and local taxation of multi-state business entities, and I appreciate the opportunity to comment on this bill today. I speak today in opposition to Senate Bill 312. This bill would require publication of confidential taxpayer information by providing that the Department of Revenue and Legislative Revenue Office work together to report certain taxpayer information for C corporations. This would apply to C corporations that have apportionment factors of less than 100% and that claim a yet to be determined amount of tax expenditures. Because disclosure of this information will serve no public policy and is arbitrary and punitive in nature, COST respectfully urges this committee to reject Senate Bill 312. The COST Board of Directors has adopted a formal policy statement in opposition to disclosure and publication of confidential taxpayer information such as we see in this bill. The policy position states that taxpayers have a justifiable expectation of privacy. State Departments of Revenue audit business taxpayers on a regular basis to ensure that all relevant tax laws are appropriately enforced. Releasing specific business tax returns or information from those returns to the public would serve no public policy purpose. COST has consistently warned against violating taxpayer confidentiality under the guise of transparency. Senate Bill 312 would make certain taxpayer information public record to the benefit of no one. Rather than inform the public policy debate, Senate Bill 312 would mislead both legislators and the public into thinking that businesses do not pay substantial taxes, when in fact businesses do pay substantial taxes, especially in other areas than the corporate income tax. The corporate income tax is the most volatile state revenue stream because of business cycles and intended tax code features. If the legislature is concerned that certain classes of taxpayers are inappropriately taxed, it should ask the executive branch for aggregate information for that class of taxpayers. Showing that a specific taxpayer did not pay corporate income tax in a given year because of loss carryovers, current year profitability, tax credits, or some other reason does not benefit the policy debate. In fact, it will likely harm that debate, as the reason for taxpayers' Oregon income tax liability will likely not be apparent or understood from the information disclosed. Further, limiting disclosure to C corporations that have apportionment factors of less than 100% and that claim a certain amount of tax expenditures underscores the fruitless, punitive, and arbitrary nature of proposals such as this. We appreciate the opportunity to provide comments on Senate Bill 312 and respectfully urge you to reconsider this bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? I see no hands raised, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next witness will be Lamar Wise.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Boquist and members of the committee. My name is Lamar Wise. I'm a political coordinator with AFSCME Council 75. I am testifying in favor of Senate Bill 312 and corporate transparency. AFSCME Council 75 represents about 27,000 workers across the state. Our members have felt the economic impacts of wildfires and the COVID-19 virus, and many had to depend on state and federal aid to make ends meet. State workers, county workers, and service providers are grappling with our new reality. And it's clear that that the Oregonians that they serve also need vital assistance from the state. In order for us to, as a state, to respond to the moment, we have to have access to all the tools available to us. One tool that we haven't used yet is corporate transparency. We know that nationally, large corporations have paid little to nothing in federal taxes because corporations have dedicated resources to finding tax breaks and tax loopholes. Over time, this has shifted the tax burden on working families, which right now desperately need relief. We believe that in order to make the best policy decisions, we need the data that would be obtained from Senate Bill 312. The Corporate Tax Transparency Act would provide that information by requiring large corporations to disclose certain tax and financial information. The act increases accountability and fairness, serving the interests of all Oregonians. It is evident that corporations have rigged the system to their benefit. Specifically, the share of Oregon income taxes paid by corporations is near an all-time low at a time when corporate profits are at high. Multinational corporations artificially shift profits abroad to avoid income taxes here as well. Corporate tax loopholes and subsidies have proliferated over a decade. About 7 in 10 corporations, including half of the corporations within Oregon, sales over $100 million. Pay the minuscule corporate minimum tax. When corporations use secrecy to avoid taxes, families and individuals are left to pick up the slack or avoid public services, and our public services go underfunded. And often it's both. With that being said, AFSCME Council 75 urges the passage of Senate Bill 312 to give our state the best chance that we need in order to create a more equitable tax structure for it. And thank you for your time.
And thank you. Are there questions from the committee? I see no questions. So next we will call on Charlie Fisher.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. My name is Charlie Fisher. I'm the state director of OSPIRG,
We're a statewide citizen-based organization with thousands of members around the state. And I'm here to express our support for Senate Bill 312. Because from our perspective, it's pretty simple. We have a right to know how our tax money is being spent, and no company should be able to game the tax system to avoid paying what it legitimately owes. We know that too many multi-state and multinational corporations are able to use accounting tricks and gimmicks to avoid paying what we collectively as Oregonians have decided they should be paying, which ultimately leaves individuals and small businesses to bear the brunt of that tax burden. Now, there are many examples of tax avoidance. One that we focus a lot on and we've done some research on is the abuse of offshore tax havens, which we estimate leads to $175 million in lost tax revenue just to the state of Oregon alone each year. Importantly, this is just an estimate because the information required to fully assess the impact of avoidance through offshore tax havens is not public. So having access to taxes paid in Oregon by multinational companies would better help us understand this issue and better inform policymaking in the future. And so I think quite clearly there is a public interest reason for having access to this information. I'll also note, and the Dash 1 amendments really, I think, well address this, it's critically important that tax information be readily available to the public in the most easily accessible format possible and not require multiple requests or other burdens to access. So, you know, we have experience with how difficult it can be to gain access even to tax information that is supposed to be available to the public. We've done research on the effectiveness of enterprise zones at creating the jobs they're said to create and filed public records requests, which were initially denied on trade secrets grounds and ultimately gained access to that information. But I think the point is it really illustrates how burdensome it can be to even access information that is supposed to be public. And so, I think the Dash 1 amendments really well address this, and we want to make sure that, you know, regular Oregonians truly have access to information that they need to be able to be fully informed about decision-making in Salem and how tax policy affects them. So I'll just close by saying this really isn't about, you know, raising or lowering taxes. It's just about knowing that once the legislature defines what the tax rate should be, and what tax credits are available, that those are being used appropriately, and that certain companies are not able to game the system simply because they have access to expensive lawyers and accountants. So again, we really urge you to support this bill, and we also support the amendments that are just posted. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee? I see no questions. So next I will call on Scott Bruin.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you. I'm Scott Bruin, Director of Tax and Fiscal Policy for Oregon Business and Industry, or OBI. OBI is the state's largest trade association with over 1,600 members who employ more than 330,000 Oregonians. For several reasons, committee members, OBI strongly opposes Senate Bill 312. First, Senate Bill 312 is unnecessary. We believe policymakers have more than enough sources of information to make informed, real-time decisions on corporate taxation and incentives. With gratitude, we have all watched LRO and DOR provide excellent background tax information and tutorials over these first few weeks of legislative session. In addition, other entities like Business Oregon and PSU's Economic Research Department provide regular data around Oregon's corporations and potential benefits utilized under our state's well-vetted economic development programs. And if it's the regulatory aspect that is in question, it's worth remembering how heavily regulated publicly traded corporations are already. The SEC, the FTC, and other regulatory bodies already require high levels of reporting, disclosure, and precise corporate governance practices. OBI is very concerned that the new and additional corporate tax disclosure information called for in SB 312 may very well lead to the politicizing of that information. That would not be helpful. Senate Bill 312 would also place Oregon businesses at a significant competitive disadvantage. Our corporations compete for markets, for market access, for the best employees, and of course must always work to protect proprietary information. That competition is not just with companies across the river, but also across the globe. Oregon corporations simply cannot compete in a way that would protect and strengthen their regional and global market positions if they must also disclose proprietary tax and performance information. Finally, Senate Bill 312 does not help Oregon. The bottom line is that Oregon is not an easy place to do business. As we have reported at OBI, taxes on Oregon businesses are projected to go up $1.8 billion between 2019 and 2022 when new taxes introduced in 2019 are fully phased in. This is a 41% increase, which hurts our ability to compete with other states for job-creating investments. And all of this is before the pandemic-caused economic storm that we are currently weathering. Whether it's because of taxes or regulations or some other factors, we have a very small number of publicly traded companies headquartered in Oregon. That should be very telling and alarming. We wish this were not true, but companies are not beating down the door to move to Oregon. Senate Bill 312 will not help us overcome that challenge. It will exacerbate it. And Senate Bill 312, in the worst case, may also prove to be another disincentive for companies already in Oregon to stay in Oregon. Proponents may say it's a simple choice between sharing proprietary information or utilizing the state's economic incentive programs. Well, I don't think we should be blasé about this, Madam Chair. Companies also have a third choice, leaving. For these reasons, OBI respectfully requests that this committee not move forward with SB 312 or the Dash 1 amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? I see no questions. So our last signed up witness is Robert Estabrook.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, committee members, Bob Estabrook for the Oregon School Employees Association, which represents 23,000 educators from Head Start up through community colleges in Oregon. I'm not gonna reinforce the good points that you've heard from other advocates today. But I want to stress a couple of points that I think are really critical here. And one of them is to reinforce that there is a need to know. Right now, we have a lot of conjecture and a lot of supposition about whether tax breaks are working in Oregon or who is paying their fair share and who is not paying their fair share. What we need is real information. And I think it's important to differentiate that this is not necessarily the information that is taken directly from a tax return, but it is critical information for understanding how large corporations are working within Oregon's tax code. And so when you have an opportunity to read those Dash 1 amendments, you will see, I think, a very clear distinction between the sort of approach that some of the opponents have warned against and how we can do this in a way that's really effective for Oregonians, but also doesn't rely on getting into issues around federal taxpayer information. Another aspect that I think is really important, again, drawing on that Dash 1 amendment, is if you look specifically at Section 4 of the amendment, which will allow the corporate taxpayer to provide supplemental information in addition to this raw data that we've been talking a lot about. And I think what that highlights is that the interest here is not in, to use another presenter's term, weaponization. That's not the focus here. The whole point of this discussion is, in fact, to have real information that both decision makers like yourselves, as well as real taxpayers, can look at and understand what may or may not be working as intended. And that's really the interest that my members bring to this discussion, because obviously they are far from being corporate taxpayers themselves, but they have their own impressions of how tax policy is working and isn't working. And it's very difficult for them to understand, and it's very difficult to answer questions from them about whether things are working or not, because we're not working with good information that provides real examples. And that, I think, is the important focus here. That we need to get away from the conjecture and the supposition, that we need to have less, you know, vilification based on stereotypes. We need to have real information that allows people to understand and make real informed decisions on the basis of that data. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. This conclude. Are there questions of Mr. Estabrook? Okay, I see no questions. Given the fact that we have an amendment that we got at the very last minute. I'm going to leave the record open on this for written testimony until Monday at 5 o'clock. So anyone who wants to comment on the bill, comment further on the bill in response to this hearing or anything else, or opine on the dash one amendment, will have till 5 o'clock Monday to do that. Is that something we can do, Chris, now that I've already said we're going to do it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And that completes our business for the day. Chris, is there anything left that we need to accomplish?
No, Madam Chair, that was your agenda for today.
Okay. And thank you for committee and for all our witnesses. And we are adjourned.